Sorry to wake you guys up. Saw a couple of people when those lights went on. We're like, oh man, guys, thought we were done. So when we're planning this beautiful liturgy, we have this massive book called the Missal. And in it is all the instructions as to what we're supposed to be doing tonight. And in it, it says something kind of funny, but kind of beautiful. It says, tonight's vigil is the mother of all vigils. And it is the greatest and noblest of all solemnities. Now, it took me a while to come to appreciate this reality. I remember as a teenager being drugged to a vigil with my parents, and we had some choice words after it. I was like, seriously, like 3 hours of my life I'll never get back? Really? But I've really come to appreciate this liturgy. And particularly the liturgy of the word, the readings, the 9 readings you just had. In my years of formation and 10 years of priesthood, we have lots of discussions because there are options to do less readings. You don't have to do all 9. But I think, why not? They're beautiful. When you listen to them very carefully, you see salvation history of our ancestors, but also our own salvation history being laid out right in front of us. And we can see our lives unfolding as we listen to these beautiful readings. So we started out in Genesis 1, the creation account. And we're told that it starts out as a formless wasteland. And eventually God puts everything in order. And we're told along the way, it is good. And I've come to see in my life that, yes, I too was a formless wasteland. But I also came to realize that all along the way, I was loved. God brought me into existence because he loved me. He wanted to be in a loving relationship with him, and I am his son. Now, we all know in our own lives, and if you have children, that, well, you know, some molding needs to happen as we grow up, right? We need to be molded into the image of our God. And many times this can happen when we are tested. So we turn to Genesis 22. We see in that second reading that Abraham, our father in faith, was tested. Well, how did he become our father in faith? Well, he was asked to do something incredible. After waiting for years, for decades, for God's promise to be fulfilled, to give him an heir, he finally got it, his son. And God said to him, I want you to take your son up to a mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to take his life. And Abraham is like, okay, all right. So they start going, and eventually God reveals and says, no, I was testing you to see where your faith would take you. And being that you showed me that you're willing to give anything for me, including your only son, I see that you are a faithful man, and you will be the father of my great nation. But we have to remain faithful. In a few moments, 6 people are going to get dunked over here and another 2 will be confirmed. And that's not the end. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of this next phase of their lives. We too, if you've been a Christian your whole life, we are all to be tested as well. And we have to remember that we have to say yes. Because there's going to be challenges as well. That moves us to Exodus. In Exodus, we see God had called out to the Egyptians. God had called out to Pharaoh and said to them time and time again, come back into right relationship with me. And after calling them again and again and again, finally God said, okay, enough is enough. And judgment day comes. And we see that even after God showed them these 10 plagues, and he said, finally, let my people go. They went after them to bring them back. And they paid the consequence. And I see that in my life. See, in my life, when I was growing up, how I kind of took God's mercy for granted. How I didn't always ask for repentance. But it came to a point in life when I realized, you know what? The end is coming for you, young man. Literally, if you don't change your ways. And it was through trials and testing and lots of things happened, and finally I said, okay, God, it's your way, not mine. I will turn my life and my will over to you. But what's beautiful is I just said, I am going to turn my life over to God, but it really wasn't me. It was God. Look at Ezekiel's writing that we heard from today. In it, you notice who is doing the action. It's always God is the one who's starting the action, and we respond. God says, I will prove. I will take you away. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. Over and over and over again, God is showing us, I am the one who wants to be in this beautiful relationship with you. And Isaiah talks about this beautiful relationship. And the language Isaiah uses is beautiful. He's using marital relationship, nuptial relationship, husband and wife to describe the relationship that we are to have with God. And God says, I will treat you with tenderness, and I will take you back. With enduring love, I take pity on you, and my love shall never leave you. So we're not in this master-slave relationship with God. We are in a loving relationship with God. And God then shows us the love he has for us by living out the words he said. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that brings us to the gospel, Mark 16. It says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. So we see that Christ was willing to go to his death to show us the depths of his love that he has for us. But the next sentence says, he has been raised. He is not here. It's these realities that have allowed me to change my understanding of tonight. From being a teenager, pulling my hair out, thinking, oh my gosh, will these people ever shut up so I can go home? To standing you before here saying, I hope this night goes on forever. It doesn't, by the way. Okay, just so you know, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's okay. It's okay. I hope so, but it will then. All right. Well, I can say that because I stand here knowing that I am a sinner. But I know that I'm redeemed. I know that because God has shown his love for me and says, you are my son. I want to be in this relationship with you. And then the last reading chronologically is from Romans. It says, if we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. So in baptism, symbolically, what are we doing? We're in a sense drowning you guys. You are dying to sin and you come out reborn. You come out of the waters a new person. All of us who are baptized are to be new people, and we are to live every single day that baptismal promise of being in relationship with Christ, knowing who we are and walking by loving God and loving neighbor. So tonight is the mother of all vigils because it's the fullness that we celebrate these beautiful realities of God saying, you are my son, you are my daughter, and this is how much I love you.